You're turning to Proverbs 26. Let me just remind you that 2 weeks from today is Neighbor Day in the morning and VBS in the evening. And so we've got some cards that have been printed. They are at the tables where you entered, some in the back of our auditorium and some over this way. Now, on one side is Neighbor Day, inviting our guests, and on the other side is a VBS ad. Love for you to take some of these and help us spread the word over the next 2 weeks. And maybe we can try the 3-2-1 thing again, right? Maybe think of three individuals that you would like to invite, and then two families from church here, you and another one, team up together and determine that you're going to try and take one guest family out to eat after morning worship on June the 23rd. How about that? 3-2-1. Three guests that you can invite. Two church families, you and another, team up and say, let's go out to eat with a guest come Sunday, June 23rd. And then you and your team family and one guest and their family, y'all go out to eat on June 23rd. I think that'll make for a really neat Neighbor Day and a great way to encourage us for VBS as well, that it will begin that evening, the Lord willing. More to say later, but those cards are available now, and we've got plenty of them, so please take as many as you need and invite as many as you'd like. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. And you and I both know that that is a bunch of baloney. Words hurt. In fact, the writer of Proverbs tells us the very thing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 18, verse 21. We've all been hurt by, and we have all been haunted by, words that were said to us and words that we have said to others. The reality is, words are powerful. Words like, I love you. Words like, I hate you. Those are powerful words. Words like, you'll never amount to anything. And words like, I'm very proud of you. Boy, these are meaningful words. You know, words can change the course of history. Martin Luther King Jr. famously gave his speech, and his words are solidified as a part of our culture and in our own minds. I have a dream. President Reagan at the Berlin Wall in 1987, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Well, these are words that changed the course of history and have made an impact upon us. How about words like this one? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Words are powerful. The problem is, we often struggle to control our tongues. James chapter 3, verse 8 reminds us that no human can tame the tongue. It is a world of iniquity, full of deadly poison. And what that tells me is, I'm always going to have to keep it on a leash. If I can't tame it, I'm always going to have to strive to keep it under control. And of course, sometimes I'll fail. I heard the preacher George Bailey, not the character from It's a Wonderful Life, but the preacher George Bailey say this one time on a recorded sermon. He said, that tongue is in a wet place and it's liable to slip. And I thought, well, that makes sense, doesn't it? And it will. It'll slip. And then the regret kicks in. A lack of self-control with our tongues can destroy our marriages, can destroy our families, can destroy our friendships. And there's not a one of us in this room who has not thought at one point in time or another, I really wish that I had not said that. Let's see what Proverbs has to say about the words we speak. And let's see about whether it's possible for us to change. So we're going to, for the sake of simplicity this morning, camp out in Proverbs 26. And we're going to begin in verses 18 and following as we look together at some dangerous words. Words that we need to avoid. And we begin with deceptive words. Verse 18 of Proverbs 26. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. And then drop down to verse 24. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. And when he speaks graciously, don't believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. When we talk about deceptive speech, we're talking about speech that constructs false realities. This can be embellishment, exaggeration, half-truths, intentional misrepresentation, truth in jest, and perjury. Boy, there's a lot of ways that we can mess up with that old tongue. It's no wonder James says it's a world of iniquity. But why would we be tempted by deception? We don't like to be deceived. We don't like to feel as though we've had the wool pulled over our eyes. Why would we be individuals who would be tempted to do this thing? And it must be because we think twisting the truth will help us in some way, will help us to get something. And ultimately, does it not maybe hint toward that our satisfaction is in people's approval more than it is in God's approval? We want someone else to like us, to the point that we try and either soften truth or construct something that is entirely false, all to deceive. So a neighbor, one may say words of deception to his neighbor and then later say, well, I didn't mean anything by it. Ah, that was just a joke. Ah, you know how I am. You can't believe anything I say. And so we disguise the hatred with our lips while harboring deceit in our hearts. Number two, harmful words, dangerous words. In addition to deception, the wise man says we need to look out for gossip and slander, and this is where it starts hurting even more. I come in Proverbs 26, this time to verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Then look at verse 22. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. When we talk about gossip, we're talking about a type of speech that reveals secrets. And when we talk about slander, we're talking about defaming another person, his or her reputation. You know, some people just feel like they need to know it all. They want to know all the information, all the secrets. Some people just feel like they have to know everything. And often, those very people are also the people who cannot keep secrets. Emily and I had an individual tell us one time, a very smart person. He said, are you a container or are you a colander? Does it stop with you or do you let it seep right through? Is it going to continue going past you or will it hold in a bowl? Well, we all know things that would be best not to share with others. Things that we really don't have the right to talk about because it's none of our business. And yet, we know them and we say, well, I need... Sometimes we even disguise it in prayer. And I think we need to be careful about this. We'll say, well, you know, you ought to be praying for this person because I can't tell you everything, but they're really struggling. Are we saying it's wrong to pray for somebody? Of course not. But I'm saying we ought to be very careful about the way we handle somebody else's information. And there are people who just don't need to know the stuff that's going on in somebody else's lives because they aren't a part of it. They aren't related to the information. And you know what? A lot of times the difficulty, the quarreling that is caused by gossip would stop if we would. For lack of a wood, the fire goes out. If a whisperer will keep quiet, that will solve a lot of problems. In fact, there are problems that are made worse because people can't be quiet. We need to be careful because gossip, well, that's dangerous. Those are dangerous words. Not unlike slander, by the way. Slander, trying to hurt another person, to defame them. Why would we do something like this? After all, I don't like for people to gossip about me. Certainly don't like somebody to slander my name. Why would it be that I would be tempted to do this to another? Well, I guess it has to be motivated out of jealousy toward others, or maybe out of pride. Sometimes I just want to be the person that everybody comes to, and so I want to be the person that positions myself as though I have all the information, or as though I'm the authority about this subject or about this person. And other times, I'm trying to make myself look better, and so I'll knock somebody else down so that I can, proverbially speaking, step on top of them to elevate myself. In every case, it's ungodly. It's not the way God wishes us to be. Can you keep confidence? Are you someone who is trustworthy? Don't gossip and slander. These are dangerous words. Verse 21 in the third place talks about contentious speech. Folks who are just always trying to stir up something. Verse 21, as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Everywhere you go, you find some way to be critical. Everybody you meet, you find something with which to disagree. Would it not be better for us to accentuate the areas where we actually are in agreement? Would it not be better for us to focus more on positive traits than always majoring in the negative things? The wise man says, well, that contentious person is to quarreling just like the hot embers and wood are to a fire. And once again, if we would remove the fuel for the fire would eventually die. Contentious speech, well, these are dangerous words. Certainly not in line with what Jesus says about being a peacemaker. Matthew 5, verse 9, who are so-called children of God. In the fourth place, we move to verses 23 to 28, and we see words of flattery. Words of flattery. How about this? He says, like the glaze covering an earthen vessel, are fervent lips with an evil heart. So it's smoothed over on the outside, maybe even looks nice. Some translations will refer to silver dross. So here's something that's nice and smooth on the outside, but it's covering up that harsh, clay-like interior. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. And when he speaks graciously, don't believe him, because all those abominations are in his heart. And though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. We're talking about speech consisting of smooth talk, praising others in order to try and manipulate the circumstances to my advantage. And once again, this is one of those areas. Well, isn't there a time maybe when we need to pray for somebody, and so maybe we may need to share some information? I suppose there are times when that might be a good thing to do. It just depends. What's the motive in your heart? Why are you doing the things you do? Well, the same is true over here with flattery. Is there a time to pay compliments, to encourage? Of course. To give honor to whom honor is due? Absolutely. But could I use that in a way that comes from an evil motivation where I'm just trying to put on, you know, I'm just patronizing somebody. I want to try and build them up because that'll work to my advantage. It's not a selfless compliment. It's actually selfishly conniving to try and horn in and get something that I want. That's flattery. Praising others to manipulate the circumstances. Praising another so they like you or respond to you the way that you want them to. The adulterous woman, back in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21, is said to speak with flattering lips. Boy, her lips drip like honey. That's how she lures unsuspecting guys into sin. Telling people what you think they want to hear because you think it'll help you advance or garner admiration. That's what we're talking about when we talk about flattery. Next, we dip into Proverbs 27 for a moment, and we look at the idea of bragging. How about this one? Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring. You know, James kind of talks about this, and he says that this is sin, to be so prideful, so presumptuous, to think that God owes me another day. But then in verse 2, he says, let another praise you, and not your own mouth. A stranger, and not your own lips. So when we talk about bragging, we're talking about speech that praises self or embellishes my own accomplishments. Self-exaltation is viewed in some circles as something that is good and even necessary. If I want to get a job or if I want to land a promotion, well, then I really need to sort of, accentuate my abilities. Some people have a handy knack of always turning a conversation back around toward themselves. And anytime you get to talking with them, you can be sure that before you're through, you're going to learn about how great they are. That's not really what the Lord wants, is it? The humility that He desires. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and let Him lift you up. See, the gospel helps us to find security and peace in Jesus. So I'm not looking for that validation in another person. I don't feel the need to brag about how great I am because I find my contentment in Christ. Whether I'm in a state of plenty or in a state of want. You know, it's awfully hard to continue to exalt myself when I really understand Jesus' humility in laying down His life for other people. What right do I have to exalt myself or to pretend as though I'm somehow better than another person when I really understand the essence of the message of the gospel? See, these are dangerous words. Conveniently located for us right here in Proverbs 26 and digging a little bit into chapter 27. But there is at least one other category, at least in my mind, I'm sure this isn't comprehensive, but of the type of dangerous speech that we are to avoid. And for this one, we'll have to leave Proverbs 26 for just a moment and sort of dip into the words of the wise man in general. We come back to chapter 2 and we begin to read about what he calls perverse or crooked speech. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12. If I back up, beginning at verse 11, it says, "Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil and from men of perverted speech." Speech that distorts truth and reality. Speech that promotes false ideas. For example, in Proverbs 24:24, "Whoever says to the wicked, 'You are in the right,' will be cursed by peoples, abhorred by nations. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them." See, this is the kind of perverted speech that the wise man is talking about. It calls sin good, and even in some cases will call good evil or sin. It minimizes sin as though it's not a big deal to God. And perverse speech, therefore, will seek to justify wrong behavior. I come to Proverbs chapter 30, and I look down in verse 20. "This is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, 'I've done no wrong.'" So she's just going about her life. She's minimizing the sin. She's justifying what it is that she's done. And she's saying, "Okay, I'm at peace with it. That's it." And she continues on in that lifestyle. And this is, even though it's self-talk, it seems as though she's saying that to herself. Perhaps she's saying that to other people. But it's perverse. It's distorting reality. Why would we be tempted by perverse speech? Well, in the end, we all want to be viewed as good people, don't we? We all want others to think well of us. And sometimes it's just, we want to live our way. We want to avoid any notion that we need to repent of anything. And so we double down in our sin and we justify it. And then we fall into the trap of calling things that are evil good. We want to say to others, "Well, I'm a good person," while we're continuing in wickedness. These words are dangerous, but they're also harmful to us. It's pretty obvious that things like perverse speech, deception, gossip, slander, contentions, flatteries, and bragging, yes, will have spiritual damage to us, but they will also damage our relationships. They have negative, serious negative consequences to our relationships. "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off," Proverbs 10, verse 31. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish, Proverbs 19, verse 9. You know, the Bible says if a man wants to have friends, then he has to demonstrate himself to others that he is a friendly person. And sometimes when I've betrayed trust through gossip and slander, sometimes when I go around being contentious, sometimes when I go around speaking perverse things, I find myself alone and I wonder why. And the reality is, these are the negative consequences of these dangerous and harmful sins. But to be sure, as the words we've just read attest, there are also spiritual consequences, eternal consequences to the words, the harmful, dangerous, sinful words that we utter. So what am I supposed to do about all of this? How can I learn to speak differently? To change and to avoid the temptations that come from the selfish ambitions, the desires that I have to distort the truth or to speak ill of another or to break the confidence and the trust of another person. How do I overcome deception, contentions, flattery, bragging, and so on? Well, we know it's going to be hard. James makes that clear in James chapter 3. This chapter that's all about the tongue, and James doesn't try and sugarcoat it as though it's going to be an easy thing to do. But isn't it a good place to begin by looking to the cross and by looking to Jesus himself, a man who never sinned with his mouth. There was no deceit in his mouth, 1 Peter 2, verse 22. He never harmed anyone with his words. Sure, he rebuked at times, but that was rebuking the unhealth to bring about the health, to try and encourage people to repentance. Yes, there were moments when people didn't like the things that he said, but that doesn't mean that Jesus was intentionally harming them. He was trying to help them. The humble died for the braggers. The one with no deceit in his mouth died for deceivers. The reconciler died for the contentious. Be gripped by the gospel message and let that reality remove the feeling of the need to justify yourself or to exalt yourself or to slander another person. Let the cross impact your heart to the point that you no longer feel the need to lie to get others' approval because you have Jesus' approval. Start with the gospel, with Jesus, with the cross, and let that transform your heart, and your tongue will follow. See, we know words are powerful. And this morning we have the powerful Word of God, which invites us to come to Jesus and to be reconciled to God. You want to talk about powerful words? Try these on for size. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 1. Those are words with power, words with meaning, words of truth, words of hope. That the person who comes to Jesus and responds to him in submission and obedience is a person who can be confident of his eternal home. How about these words? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control. Of course, there are other parts of that fruit that are mentioned in those two verses. But as we think about our challenge for the morning, to be a people who are using wise words, we'll recognize the power of the words that we speak. And certainly, in light of all of this, shouldn't we be committed to give our lives and our mouths to Jesus? How about you? Do your words reflect him and his influence on your life? If you're not a Christian this morning, we want you to know that the things that you have said, the harm that you've done to God and to other people can be forgiven. It can be reversed because of the cross. and because of the precious blood of Christ. And this morning, if you'll come, using your words to reflect the sentiment of your heart, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the true and the living Son of God, and then following those words with action, buried with Christ in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, you'll be forgiven. This morning, if you're a Christian and you haven't been using your words in a way that really befits the gospel of Christ, and maybe even you've used your words in ways that have damaged the relationships around you, you can be forgiven of that. None of us can be on a high horse when it comes to slipping with our tongues. The ground's pretty level. We've all committed that sin. And so to realize the need for forgiveness and grace, well, that's something that we all know. And if we can help you this morning in being reconciled to God and giving your life, including your words, to the Lord, we'd be honored to help you while we stand in